32 AD, and it's true afterward, that God sends forth His Word. God always has a remnant of true believers, and the world always tries to destroy and even kill them.
Yeah.
Nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes said. So I want to present this reality check rerun. Earthly kingdom builders are bloody killers.
Amen.
When you are listening to a man or you have some group or denomination or whatever, and their agenda is to suck as much money out of your purse and wallet as they can so they can build buildings and build this and build that, that is a dangerous group that if they get enough power, they'll start using it to persecute and even kill people.
Yeah.
And in every case, that's been true. Now, there are some of these groups who never get that kind of power. But when they do, or if they do, there's blood. Bloodshed. So then Luke 50, look at that. He says his reason for confronting them. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Now, he's not saying this generation itself killed all these prophets. What he's basically telling us is that there's a spirit behind it all. They're all connected by the spirit that they follow, and it's not God's spirit. It doesn't say all the prophets were killed, but that the blood of all the prophets who were killed was coming due. And so there are some, like Elijah. Some of you remember that? Remember Elijah? What happened to Elijah? Was he killed? What happened?
Raptured.
But how did he go up?
Chariot of fire.
That's not just a movie about a runner in England. The original chariot of fire was Elijah going up. And Elisha, because he saw it, got his mantle and got a double blessing. And that's a great story. I mean, Old Testament's great. I hope you all are reading it. By the way, we've got new calendars there, and we found another, thanks to Katie Hintz, we found another typo, little glitch there. But none of you complain, so that tells me you're not really doing what you're supposed to be doing, or you could tell me. But Katie did, so but they're fixed over here, and you can download them online, PDF. No, I'm just kidding, because she told us a week ahead before it actually hit. So some of you got little, almost teary-eyed. So verse 51 then says, from the blood of Abel. How many of you think of the martyrs and think of Abel? You should. Why did you say, well, he was killed by his brother? Why? It was the first religious murder. Religion kills. When religions become an agenda rather than God's agenda becoming the agenda. And Cain had his own agenda. Now, there's people who want to debate and argue about this, but when Cain brought his offering, he followed Abel, who brought a blood offering. But it wasn't the blood of that offering that God respected. It was the fact that Abel brought it by faith. Why do you say that? Because he followed the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Abel followed the Word of God. That's how you know it's of faith. If someone's doing something in the name of God, but it's not following the Word of God, it's not really of God. It's not of faith. True faith is reflecting God's teaching of His Word. So along comes Cain. The problem wasn't the fact that he brought a salad. The problem was that his salad was just the evidence that he was not bringing his offering by faith. Because if he had brought an offering by faith, he would have known that everybody from his dad Adam and the Lord before Adam, what did God do to provide a covering when they fell in sin in Genesis 3? What did he do? Shed the blood in order to provide coats of skin. What do you see throughout the old, all the way up before Moses? All you see are God's people offering blood sacrifice. because they were offering it by faith. And Cain wouldn't have brought a salad. He would have brought a blood sacrifice. But what did he do? He got jealous of Abel. He got angry. His pride rose up. June every year is the month where the world celebrates wickedness. Pride month. God says pride is wicked. And the whole world, all the corporations are bootlicking the sodomites by putting up the rainbows and talking about pride this and pride that. It's all wicked. Humility is what God's looking for. You humble yourself before God and He will lift you up. Let Him do the lifting. But that's what happened with Cain and Abel. Cain lifted himself up and then killed his brother. And so then Jesus refers to the most recent victim of the Jewish leaders in the Bible. And I'll explain it in just a second, where He says, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Now, that's the last martyr in the Old Testament canon. And if you go back and read that, well, let's do it. Let's take a minute. Second Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 20, I'll start there. It says, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. Now that's not a Joel Osteen sermon, that's for sure. But that's not what's being preached in most churches today across the board. So what did they do? Oh, they just loved this. They gave a big offering, big love offering. You know, patted him on the back, shook his hand, said, great sermon, preacher, great sermon. No, they had roast preacher. Look at verse 21, read that. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. And that's why it says between the altar and the temple. And go ahead and go back. We won't read this. Well, that's the only two verses I have there in it. Why? Well, the Jewish Bible is a little different from your Bible. Ours goes from Genesis to Malachi, right? Ours ends with a voice in the wilderness crying out, make straight the paths of the Lord. And who's that? That's talking about the Messiah, Jesus coming, right? The Jewish Bible to this day goes from Genesis to 2 Chronicles. Did you know that? Yeah. And if you look, if you're still there, you can just turn a few pages there in 2 Chronicles and go to the end of 2 Chronicles. And the very end of that book is chapter 36. And look what it, if you look in that chapter, the last few verses, it's all about the Jews coming back to Israel to rebuild the temple. Isn't that fascinating? Think of that. You think that's an accident? I don't think so. As soon as a Jew gets saved, what do they pick up? They pick up a book that ends the Old Testament calling on the one, calling on the Messiah. But as long as they remain an unsaved Jew, their Bible ends with the call to them to go home and build their temple. Now, John the Baptist, he wasn't killed by religious leaders or Jews, so he is not mentioned after Zechariah. Now, John the Baptist was martyred. But he wasn't killed by the religious leaders or the Jews. You remember he was killed because Herod was a pervert and his stepdaughter danced real good for him and he gave her what she wanted and she wanted John's head on a platter. So back in our text then, Luke 11:51. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. What generation? He's not this one here, the one he's talking to. This generation that he's talking to in around 32 A.D. And it was. Amen. Bronwyn says amen. She's getting real excited. The Jewish leaders. I love the sound of kids, by the way. Do you know you love that? Yeah, don't want to hear you burp and stuff, but when the kids do it, it's cute. But the Jewish leaders and those who followed them paid the price. If you did not humble yourself, leave back behind you like Saul, who became Paul, who left behind his position as Pharisee. If you didn't do that, the price in 70 AD, just a few years later. And up to that, it got worse and worse and worse every passing year, until finally in 70 AD, Titus, as a general, came down and wiped the place out. They surrounded Jerusalem, and it got so bad the mothers and fathers ate their own children. And there's worse I won't go into that happened as a result of that. God, you people want to blame God for that. God said, if you turn to me, you won't see any of that. But if you want to do it on your own, okay. And that's what happened. Just lift his hand and the rest is history. That's what's going to happen to Israel now. Israel as a nation will not repent. There's a remnant, tiny remnant of believers in Israel. So what's going to happen? The rapture happens. In comes the world government. They establish the Antichrist system with the mark of the beast. They agree to the Mosaic covenant between the world government and Israel. They allow them to rebuild the temple, and they start animal sacrifice again. And then the icing on the cake is when that Antichrist goes into that temple and declares himself to be God. And at that midway point, Israel's chased into the wilderness, which we believe is Petra, and they will be there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And 2/3 will die. It'll be as bad as it was in 70 AD and then some. Jesus said it'll be worse than anything we've ever seen. So it'll be worse than 70 AD. But any Jew on an individual basis and any Gentile who will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that person can be saved from God's wrath and all that that time entails. Yeah, Johnny?
Yeah, just a quick question. How did the time in 70 AD compare to the Nazis?
The Nazis were probably almost as bad, but it was in Germany and Poland, not in Israel. So the location was different, and there were Jews all around the world at that time that didn't suffer. But what's going to happen leading up? What happened in 70 AD is almost all the Jews were there. There were very few outside, and that's going to happen again. All those New York Jews and all that, they're going to close their bank accounts, take their stocks and bonds, and they're going to go back to Israel. And they'll be concentrated there. So Paul summarizes the Old Testament saints and martyrs in Hebrews 11. Now, if I really wanted to have some fun, we'd go there and read it together. But it's a lengthy chapter, and I encourage you, if you haven't read it in a while, sit down and read Hebrews 11. We call it the Hall of Saints. And some call it the Hall of Faith, because it constantly says by faith they did these things. But it's a wonderful recollection in a nutshell. And then even then he says, time doesn't permit me to go on about so many others that he could have talked about. Hebrews 11, it's a great chapter in your Bible. But Revelation 18 speaks of martyrs yet to happen as of 105 A.D. when the book of Revelation was written. So we know that that's after, obviously, 32 A.D. And some examples, after Jesus, there have been millions of martyrs. But in the Bible, we see some of them. The four occasions where the word that Jesus used against the Pharisees, the martyria, which is martyr, here's the first one, Acts 22:20. Well, it took place in Acts 7. But in Acts 22:20 it says, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen." How many of you remember the story of Stephen? Acts 7, if you want to refresh your memory. "And was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." That's Paul, as Saul was consenting unto the death of the first martyr, Stephen. Then Revelation 2:13 to the church of Pergamos, the angel says, "And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." There's debate about who this Antipas is, but I don't want to debate about it. I just look forward to meeting him. Amen? You're going to meet him one day. And then this is the same word translated of their testimony, Revelation 12:11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." That's describing the 144,000 and tribulation saints that die. They're beheaded, as Brother John mentioned in the Sunday school study earlier. And then Revelation 20 verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness," martyrial, "of Jesus and for the word of God." And that's actually, that's future, still to happen. In our day, according to statistics, every year 100,000 Christians are murdered for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, most of those happen in places like the African Muslim nations, the Middle East Muslim nations. But a lot of them do happen. There's a lot who are killed by the Hindus and the Buddhists. Others who are just killed by the atheists and agnostics in some countries. The millions that have been killed in China and Russia. And they're killed under the Marxist system, which we showed you is a satanic system. So there are millions of martyrs over 2,000 years of Christian history that we're going to meet in heaven. Millions who were killed. I mean, some people think it's too much to get up and get to church by 11 a.m. And yet there are some people who love not their lives to the death. Just a little check. We have some recommended resources. I just want to mention these. We have one copy, and we're going to order more, of The Trail of Blood, Bible-Believing Martyrs. Baptistic martyrs from the apostles to the present. You can get it for $2 at localchurchbiblepublishers.com. We have the Pilgrim Church should be in our library unless it's checked out. Great book by E.H. Broadbent. A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt. And we have another copy of that coming. The one we have here keeps getting checked out, which is good. Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know if you know this, but the one you can buy is about a tenth of the actual original Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you buy the original, it's 8 volumes. Here's a picture of it. That's what the original Fox's Book of Martyrs. You say, that's huge, and he didn't get them all. Think of that. That's a lot of martyrs. And then something I watched on TV, at least I watched a couple of them, it's called The Lost Legacy Reclaimed. It's 4 episodes, but there's 2, so there's a total of 8 episodes about the early church. And you can find that. I watched it on Roku, and you can find that called Lost Legacy Reclaimed. And there are many other resources. We can discuss that afterwards. But the satanic spirit of Mystery Babylon is behind all persecution of saints. You need to understand that. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, this will be the last place we'll turn, but look at Revelation 18. We did 20 hours of study on Revelation 17:18. And if you want in-depth information on this, go back and check that out. It's available free of charge online. But Revelation 18 begins by saying, "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." Angel might have been named Phoebe. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You see that? All nations. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, skip down to verse 24 for time's sake. The last verse. And verse 24, look what it says about this mystery Babylon. Read that with me. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, that seems like a pretty big statement there. But what you find is that there's a spirit behind these deadly cults and deadly movements and the killing of the prophets and apostles, the killing of the saints, all that. Same spirit that's behind Mystery Babylon. Here's a quote. The only way this much blood can be attributed to a people is for them to be connected with whoever was responsible for the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood. That's why we tell you these Pharisees and Sadducees were not Torah Jews. They had another spirit. Today it's seen in what we call Talmud Jews, the Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox and those groups. The conservative and reformed are liberal, and they're not even pretending to be Torah Jews. But even those other groups, they're not Torah Jews. These Pharisees and Sadducees killed Jesus because they put their own traditions above the Word of God. They had another spirit. The guilt cannot be laid solely at the feet of Jerusalem or the Jews, for the shedding of Christ's blood, referred to in Revelation 1:5, was committed by the people which pierced him. Now, who pierced him? Wasn't Jews, right?
The Romans.
Same spirit. No Jew put a nail or a spear in him. You can read about it in Mark 15, John 19. The apostate Jews and the Roman idolaters share a joint guilt for the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:27 is where Peter preached it. That's from the Ruckman Reference Bible. Eric?
Isn't that also at the crucifixion when Pilate was trying to get Jesus back to the people, not do anything to him? The religious leaders said, let his blood be on us and our children.
We have no king but Caesar. Yeah, they showed their spirit, the wrong spirit. Amen. You know, let this dawn on you. All this we're talking about, the blood of the martyrs, the blood of the innocent, all that blood, there's a payday coming.
Amen.
God keeps the books. There's a reason why that great tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, is said to be worse than anything we've ever seen. Because God is storing up His wrath. You and I have not been appointed to wrath. That's why the rapture happens before that.
Preserves
wrath for His enemies. God chastens us. He doesn't pour out His wrath on us. But just think of that. What the ultimate, the Great Tribulation could happen within a few months. And the ultimate outpouring when it says that He slaughters them and the birds of the air feast on their meat. That could be just a little over 7 years. Where were you 7 years ago? It doesn't seem like that long ago, does it? And that's how close this event could be. Most of us are not called upon to die. We're all called upon to give our lives, but not necessarily to be martyred. But all of us are called to be faithful. And so don't go looking for it. Don't go trying to get yourself killed. As people drive crazy, and Jenny's like, they're trying to be killed. Trying to get killed. Look how they drive. Don't be trying to get killed. But, we should pray about the fact that if the time comes, and we have to, that we'll be ready to stand. And if you're not going to remain faithful in an air-conditioned church meeting, and you're not going to be faithful to preach the gospel and give some kid a gospel tract in the drive-thru or to hand a stranger a gospel tract because you're scared, you got some real soul-searching to do before they come in to take your head off. You think you're going to stand then? We're told, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You realize this building should be packed. There are times when people miss because of the COVID thing and all that, but I'm saying on a general basis, there are people who stayed home just to get a little more sleep or because they want to go do something this afternoon or whatever. And they have read this. They even know that God says, as you see the day approaching in our current events update, we remind everybody every week, it's approaching, it's approaching. There should be even better attendance when the local church meets. That's not what's happening. That just seems counterintuitive. But the Bible says also, as we see the day approaching, instead of people obeying that, there'll be a great falling away. And that's what we are seeing.